Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, who will be calling in shortly. It might be here now. We have a lot to talk about. Chael Sonnen going back to coming out of retirement and signing with Bellator. We have Bellator 161 tonight on Spike, and we also have UFC Fight Night tomorrow. So great night of fights, great weekend for fights. We're just basically waiting to have Josh call in so we can start the show, really. There was also a great performance by Stipe and his knockout of Alistair Overeem. So that is congratulations to him as well, too. So we will definitely see how this whole thing shakes out. What's going on, brother?
Oh, just enjoying the day, getting ready for UFC Fight Night and everything else that is combat sports related for the weekend. How about yourself?
Oh, man, you know, just still taking it one day at a time, brother, you know, when it comes to everything that we're doing. Want to send congratulations to man you called it, man. Stipe, champion, knocking out Alistair Overeem in the first round. You know, great night of fights last weekend. And other news, I think the biggest news that just released is Chael Sonnen signing with Bellator coming out of retirement. What do you think about that, should I say first?
You know, honestly, I like it. First off, let's just be real honest about where the original gangster Chael P. Sonnen is with his fight career. He hasn't fought in 2 years. You know, he's in his last performance, he didn't look good either. Don't expect, you know, the Chael of old or anything like that. He is still a competitor. He is still training. But, you know, he's old and his best days are long behind him. But I do think it's a good sign for Bellator because, again, it continues to give the promotion credibility. And now they have a mouth that people love and people hate. But regardless, people want to see him. And so I don't think they signed Chael because they thought Chael was, you know, the best free agent available. They signed him for the business aspect. You know, he's going to run his mouth. He's going to generate a buzz and get people to watch Bellator. I think it's a great signing. And for Chael, this is his opportunity to get back in the spotlight. You know, he wanted to go get back into Fox. He really wanted to get back into the UFC. They just weren't they're done with the Chael business. So they were happy to give him his release and let him, you know, do this Bellator stuff and see if he can, you know, bring himself back to the mainstream.
Yeah, and plus it gives him something to do, you know. Suffering the tragedy that Chael Sonnen suffered, you have to occupy your time. And training and exercising and doing all that other stuff really does occupy your time when it comes to that. And, you know, keeping yourself busy. So I can definitely understand it. I can definitely understand it. Like you said, it's a mouth. It's a love or mahayo, me Chael Sonnen. And, you know, it should be good for Bellator any way around. Every way around. It should be good for Bellator. So we'll definitely see how this whole thing shakes out and works out. But what other interesting news really do we have out there?
You know, honestly, it's been kind of a slow week. And this is terrible now. You put me on the spot. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But
don't draw a blank.
Our Olympic gold medalist, and wrestling, has come out and said that he wants to start his UFC career. And, you know, he just turned 20. He won the Worlds at 19. He won Olympic gold at the age of 20. He is the youngest U.S. gold medalist in for wrestling in Olympic history. He's the youngest world champion in world history on any level. The things that this kid is doing in wrestling has never been done before. Brock Lesnar didn't even come close to the accomplishments that this kid has done. And so I'm interested to see what happens. He's, you know, made it very clear that, you know, he doesn't have an MMA background and he, you know, needs to train some MMA, but he wants to go to the UFC and he wants to do so immediately. I think that in itself is a very interesting story. I've seen this kid compete firsthand, and while he may not think he trains MMA, he knows MMA very well. He's got excellent hips. He knows how to slap on submissions. He's very powerful for his size. I don't know that he's going to come in and be a UFC champion, but I think he can be very competitive. And so I'm interested to see how the UFC responds to his request.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that he's an Olympian, he's making the request. I'm just surprised that he just decided to go right to the UFC as opposed to saying, you know, going into MMA. You know, a lot of guys out of wrestling go into mixed martial arts, but they really don't say, this is my, you know, this is where I want to go. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see. The UFC, interesting enough, I have a funny feeling, may take a waiver on this kid until he gets some fights under him, and then go ahead and sign him. You see what I mean? Because look at all the other Olympians. What was the other kid's name?
Henry Cejudo.
Well, yeah, Cejudo. You know, he got destroyed fighting Mighty Mouse. I think it was a little bit early for me, quite honestly, from him to take a championship. But, you know, you pick your shots, so to speak, and he picked his.
Well, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the division was depleted, and the UFC pushed him into that fight. You know, if you watch this season of The Ultimate Fighter, because Henry Cejudo is coaching opposite of Joseph Benavidez, if you listen to what Henry says, he knows he wasn't ready for Demetrius, and he knows that he shouldn't have been in that fight. I'm a firm believer that the UFC pushed him, basically told him, you know, we're not giving you any other fight. This, you're the title guy. Go out and compete. And so he went out there, he did his best, and got, you know, demolished, knocked out in the first round. But I think he knew, and I agree with you, I think the UFC will do one of two things. I think the UFC will call up Ed Soares and say, hey, Ed, you know, throw this guy on a couple RFA cards. Let's see what he's got. Or they'll make him do the reality show. But I don't think that they'll give him the same opportunity that CM Punk just got, largely based on the results of CM Punk. You know, he just went out there and got whooped. And so I think you're right. I think the UFC will take a waiver and tell him, hey, kid, you got to, you know, at least get us three fights. You know, show us that you at least know how to throw a punch or defend yourself, you know, so you don't come out here and get killed.
Look, there's no doubt about it. And I hate to
be, and he may be a world
news, but yeah, you don't get that far in Olympic sports not being that. I mean, a lot of guys who have wrestled at the top level, the Cormiers, the Cejudas, and everybody like that, you don't get that far, you know, not being, like you said, you know, behind beater. So, but as far as MMA goes, it's just a different beast. One thing I tell everybody when it comes to wrestling, yes, you're quick, yes, you're this, yes, you're that, but the main difference is taking the damage. The damage changes everything. Some guys lose their hooks. Some guys lose their concentration, man, when they're getting punched in the face. You know, that's not anything that you can prepare for. Even as a stand-up fighter, you have to put in the rounds and the reps to get used to that sensitivity and that touch in all forms, all fashions, speed and strength. before you can go in there and execute a game plan when it comes to striking. So imagine being laid on the ground and punched in your face like that. You see a lot of people. Look, I've done it to my brothers. All my brothers wrestle. And what do? When they go, bang, I just start hitting them. Because they're not used to get punched or taking knees. You see what I mean? So
yes.
And they let go very quickly.
That is fundamental fighting. Exactly. And people don't understand. You know, we talk about fundamentals of sports all the time. Well, part of the fundamentals of fighting is, unfortunately, learning how to get punched in the face and being able to deal with it. Because nobody likes to get hit in the face. No one wants that. And so you have to learn how to not only take it, but be able to walk through it and continue to have coherent thought process while someone is punching you in the face. And the only way that you get to that point is through swift, strict, hard training, you know. And if that's not a part of your, you know, daily routine, you don't ever learn that. And, you know, the one thing about wrestlers is they don't ever practice punching each other in the face.
Nope. They never do. They never do. And that's always their Achilles heel. Always. The striking. I mean, look, I've been kicked in the face. I've had flash knockouts. I'm telling you, on the air, it's not pleasant. It hurts. You know, have I had for its moment of lost concentration, where I am, what am I doing? Yeah, but I've also had to come back and say, okay, reassess, hard shot, how do I deal with it? Am I still in the fight? You know what I mean? Those type of things that you ask
yes.
yourselves in those moments. And so I know it's not easy. I definitely know it's not easy. But back to CM Punk, and then we'll talk about Big Hopper. I just don't know what he was thinking. I get it. Maybe I was under the impression, and let me correct this, maybe I was under the impression that the 2 years that he was training and working certain things. But to see these two go at it, in my mind, it was like 2 years was a waste. Let me explain. No disrespect to CM Punk. But basic grappling, and you're a grappler, has basic rules that he did not adhere to at all. Locking down striking positions with the closed guard, locking your hips immediately. Once that, securing the shoulders or the arms so you can't take a strike or anything of that nature. I didn't see any of that. This, look, Mickey just took him down like it was his first day of class and just went to work, and I didn't see any real offense. I didn't see any real thought process. I mean, please, fans, don't take this the wrong way, but he passed his guard and just threw him around like I do my son, or my son, you know, goofing around his back. Like there was no offensive anything to it. It was just like, oop. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's your assessment, but I was just in complete shock when I saw that. Not surprised, just shocked. From the level of the camp that he was coming in and the height that he came in with. He dropped everything. He lived in the gym 2 days a week. I mean, two sessions a day, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting there going, oh, man, please, Roof, he must know something. I mean, come on, please. You know what I mean? And to have that happen like that, I was blown away. Blown away.
So last Friday, came on this show, and I basically said, CM Punk has Duke Rufus's stamp of approval, and that's good enough for me. Because if you spend 2 years with Duke Rufus training as much as CM Punk allegedly trained, you should have some kind of skill. I'm not going to say that you're going to be a world beater, but you should have some kind of skill. CM Punk, I was disappointed. He looked like he had never been in the gym at all. He looked like he came straight from the squared circle and stepped into the octagon, and he offered no defense, no nothing, no resistance at all. And Mickey Gall beat him up like the schoolyard bully. You know, it was sad, because I expected a better showing from Phil Brooks. I didn't think Phil was going to win this fight. I thought Mickey was a better fighter. I love Mickey. I think this kid is legit, and I want to see more of him. But I did expect Phil to at least land a punch, or, you know, better yet, throw a punch. I expected him to do something, and he didn't. He, from the moment the bell rang, he was a deer in headlights. He was just waiting for Mickey to take him down. And then when that happened, he was like, okay, I knew I was going to be here. Now what? Oh, I'm getting hit in the face. I'm getting hit in the face. I'm getting hit in the face. And that's where we were at. And it's like, he, as much training as he has done, you could tell that he'd never been in a fight. And that is the difference. And that's the one thing I tell people all the time. When you go to the golf course, all right, and you play someone who's really good, there's a reason. And they completely school you and they make you feel terrible about your golf game. But they play a lot more than you do. Okay, it's the same thing with fighting. If you've never been in an actual fight, it doesn't matter how much training you do. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone to the driving range. If you've never played an actual course, you're not a good golfer. It doesn't matter how much you train. If you've never been in a fight, you are not a good fighter. And what Phil Brooks proved to me the other night is he had never been in a fight. While I don't dispute his training, I'm sure his training was sound. He was training with Duke Rufus. Okay, Duke doesn't not train. His guys are trained. The problem was Phil had never been in a fight before. No one had ever truly punched him in the face. No one had ever truly tried to hurt him before. And I think that's what Phil had to deal with, is somebody truly wanted to hurt him, wanted to beat him up. Wasn't scripted. It wasn't planned out. This was another man truly wanting to hurt you and not going to stop until you quit, give up, get knocked out.
Yep, and it was ugly. It was ugly. Not as ugly as the Big Hopper fight. I am at the, I'm speechless. To me, it looked like from the beginning of the fight, if I can just be honest, from the beginning of the fight, he didn't want to be there. Okay? When you say, oh, I want to get that fight back, there has to be some fire and some passion in you when you get that fight. You know, Verdum, if you look at Verdum's walkout, Verdum was focused. Verdum wasn't playing around. And honestly, watch the fight again. When Verdum realized that he wasn't going to do anything, oh, it was highlight reel for him. I mean, you've never seen Verdum do any of that stuff, ever. And it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the question that I have for you, I don't know if you can tell me this or not, was he injured before the fight?
You know, going into the fight, I had heard from Travis's that he was, you know, 80-85%. So in my mind, you're 100%. Because if you can show up at 80-85%, you're better than most. Because honestly, most people are showing up at 50%. But he was dealing with some kind of injury. Here's the thing, though. You hit the nail on the head. I don't think Travis wanted to be there. I don't know if it was an injury. I don't know if, you know, him and Rhonda are having issues. I don't know what the case was, but you could see it in his eyes. He did not want to be there. He was not listening to a word that Edmund said. Not that I would listen to anything that Edmund said. I've lost all respect for that guy as a coach. But he wasn't listening to his corner. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't trying, you know, to be honest. All he was doing, in my mind, was making sure that he didn't get killed, you know. And then he had a couple dirty moments, which, you know, are what they are. But, man, no, I don't know where Travis goes from here. I don't know what's going on in Hoppe's head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all I can say. He looked awful. He looked awful.
Terrible.
And it's heartbreaking because he's a talented fighter, you know. I used to believe, and still, look, I'm going to take it away from him. I still believe he was a contender, but he looked awful. I don't know how he gets any more fights performing like that. I just really don't. I mean, you know, what does the UFC do with him? I mean, it's not as bad. It's bad. It's bad. Okay, put it like that. Okay, but at least Overeem stayed the fight. Whether he was running around the ring or not, at least he did something for a minute. To me, I didn't see him do anything. I'm being quite honest with you. I didn't see him do anything in that particular fight, you know. And then to add insult to injury, your trainer says something to a guy. The guy push kicks your trainer in the chest, and you just stand there. And I'm just like, you know, they're blessed that even the Diaz brothers would have said, I don't care if he's a heavyweight or not, I'm going to hit him. You see what I'm saying? And you just stood
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, okay. Now, I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm all for the rah-rah, or I support that type of behavior. I think it's unprofessional. But in that moment, you don't know what that trainer said to Verdum that would make him do that. Why not punch him as opposed to push-kicking him away? I realize the push is a defensive kick, you see what I mean, to create the space that you need. You know what I mean? And if he really wanted to hurt him, Verdum could have hurt him. So I understand his choice of technique in the push kick. But my point being is Travis didn't even move when that happened.
And here's the thing. I'm with you. I am absolutely not advocating violence because I don't believe in that stuff. However, I do believe in defense. And sometimes you have to defend people when you don't know the facts, when you don't know what's going on, just based off an observation. And if you kick my coach, I don't care who you are. I don't care what my coach did. I don't care what he said. I'm going to ear hole you. And then you can beat me up afterwards, whatever. But I'm going to do everything I can to protect my coach. That's just, it's like your wife, man. I don't care what my wife did. I don't care how wrong she is. If you say something to her, if you put her hands on her, I'm going to go crazy. It's the same thing, you know, and for him to do nothing, he did not want to be there. He didn't. And he didn't even really look at it. He just kind of looked, you know, gave a dirty look out of the corner of his eye. Like, did you really just do that? But that was it, you know, and there was no one there in front of him. No one was holding him back. No one was stopping him. He just didn't care. And to me, that's a significant issue. And again, I'm not advocating violence. I'm actually happy that Travis Brown didn't do anything and it didn't become this huge Diaz mayhem incident like on CBS. But again, in my mind, you have to protect your own, and absolutely, Travis should have punched Verdum right in the face as soon as he did that. Ask questions later.
Yep.
But he didn't, because he didn't want to be there. He did not want to be there. And so your question of what does the UFC do, I got to be honest, my friend, I don't know, and I don't know that they know.
Yeah. Anyway, on to other news. Really quick. who does Stipe fight next?
Well, you know, honestly, I thought Verdum was going to get the rematch, but it sounds like Verdum and Cain are going to be headlining UFC 207. And so Stipe may be on the shelf and waiting for the winner of Verdum and Cain at 207 to get his next opponent. Other than that, I know JDS has thrown his name in the mix, says he's already beat him, so on and so forth. But Junior, you didn't look good in your last fight. You're actually coming off of a loss to Alistair Overeem, so I don't exactly understand why you think you would deserve a title shot. But the UFC has done crazier things. Be honest, the heavyweight division isn't, you know, extremely deep at the moment, and with Barnett and Arlovsky just fighting and really both proving that they're not ready for a title shot. I don't know what the UFC is going to do with Stipe.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know either. And it's, look, he's the champ. Does he deserve to take a break? Sure, absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, why not? He just beat, you know, a top competitor convincingly, knocked him out, put him to sleep. I mean, so much so, and I hate to say this, it was like, you know, he manufactured something. Oh, I felt him tap. I'm like, I watched the fight like you did. I didn't see any tap at all.
There was no.
However, you know, let's look at the replay. I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because when he had the chance to finish him, he could have finished him simply by punching him in the face as opposed to going for a submission.
Yes.
Maybe that was running through his thought process. You know, I believe that punch hurt Stipe. I really did. Not, oh, he put me out my butt. No, I believe that punch hurt you. Okay.
And oh,
you just
okay.
Basically,
when he got up, he was wobbly.
Yeah.
He was Stipe was rocked.
You saw his back leg buckle like me. I'm like, yeah, you came to me. Oh, it didn't hurt you. You know. So, but anyway, so yeah, I think that could have been it. But man, look. Overeem looked terrible. I was very disappointed in Alistair Overeem. But that could also be, too. Look, a lot of these guys, and I'll just go ahead and say this, and I'll stop talking after this, have had a lot of fights. A guy like Alistair Overeem is pushing 50 fights. Alistair's been fighting now for close to 20 years. Okay? This is a guy who's taken brutal knockouts from people like Shogun and Chuck Liddell, you know, as a youth. Bounce back from that, but it's not a forever thing. It's not a forever thing, and I think sometimes that's what we forget, and professional fighters forget, you know. This was your shot. You know what I mean? So, crazy.
You know, it is, and I agree with you, and I hate to say it, but I'm also disappointed in Alistair. I'm disappointed in his performance. I'm disappointed in the shape that he came into for this fight. I really expected, you know, a lean, mean, shredded Overeem ready to go out and take a title. I didn't think he was going to beat Stipe, but I expected more from him. I was disappointed in him. And I will say this. I hope at some point he starts to contemplate retirement because he's got nothing left to prove. And, you know, like you just said, he has been suffering knockouts for going on 20 years. Now, obviously, he's knocked a lot of people out, but he has suffered some vicious knockouts himself from the time he was 18 till now he's 38. So, you know, that's a long time for your brain to be suffering. And at some point, you have to start thinking about what life's going to be like when you're 65.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. That's why I'm not really taking anything from him. But, you know, after that particular performance, it was just like, wow. And it happens. I don't know if you saw the fight. It happened to Roy Jones Jr. when he fought Kawasaki. Okay? He sat right in the corner. I'm trying to hit him. I just can't. And we just, you know, sometimes you just watch your body fail. And that's exactly what it looked like. Honestly, that's exactly what it looked like to me when Alistair was fighting. He just couldn't pull anything off except one good body kick. And that was it. That was it.
And, again, I mean, it's real easy for me to sit here and say Alistair should do this, should do that. I don't know Alistair personally. I'm not hanging out with him. I'm not in his inner circles. I don't know what kind of lifestyle he lives. I don't know what his, you know, finances are or anything like that. I know he made $800,000 for this fight. But again, he could be $8 million in debt. I don't know. So it's real easy for me to sit here and say he should do this or he should do that. But at the end of the day, he's got to do what's best for him. And if, you know, he's in a position where he still needs to fight, then, you know, I wish him all the best. I hope he doesn't get knocked out again.
No doubt about it. Fight fans, don't forget to watch Bellator 161. We just didn't have enough time to get into that. And also UFC Fight Night. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can join the Google Play. I'm sorry. Download the Sports Action Network mobile app from the Google Play Marketplace. For latest MMA news and information, you can go to For latest MMA news and information, go to The MMA Corner. That's TheMMAcorner.com. Check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Mag at ScrapFightMag.com. Excuse me. Pardon my cotton mouth or whatever.
It's Friday afternoon, my friend.
You guys go ahead, stay knuckled up. Thanks for sitting in, brother, and we'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.